All right, Brian, there was a time not long ago, maybe 3 years ago, where there was a genuine debate about, in fact, for some people, it wasn't even a debate. Deshaun Watson was a better quarterback than Dak Prescott. And you know, at your best case scenario, you were getting a debate with some people who were going back and forth a little bit. That obviously, we're far in the past from that now, where Deshaun Watson missed a lot of time, left Houston under, you know, controversial circumstances, to put it lightly, and, you know, gets to Cleveland, has been hurt a lot. When he's not hurt, he doesn't look right. And so this is, you know, a year where, Brian, we talk about the cap situation the Cowboys are in. They just restructured Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
He right now, if they were to cut him after this year, Brian, it would cost them $100 million on their salary cap. They would go $100 million in the red if they were to cut him next spring right now, just given where everything's at with their financials. So Deshaun Watson, a big change over time. Obviously, Joe Flacco caught a lot of headlines last year at the end of the year for how he played and them getting into the playoffs. But when you look back and have seen Deshaun Watson on tape a little bit, what do you still like about the player? And is there anything that you look at and go, all right, there it is, I see a flash, I see it here? Or does it just look like he's lost everything?
It looks like to me there's been mechanics are poor. You know, he's always kind of been a guy that kind of throws and does things on the move. That's been his MO. He's had some success in this league, as we all know, but he's not as accurate as he needs to be. You know, and that's surprising for a guy who, you know, who has been in the league as long as he has, and, you know, has made these starts. You know, when you start to talk about, you know, he's going on year eight now, you know, and I just felt like that Houston, they had really found a guy. It, you know, with the Bill O'Brien, it seemed like that he was really, they were going the right direction with him. And then the legal problems started, and then he just wasn't the same. Then he got banged up, and he wasn't the same. And he just has never really been completely healthy. But when he throws the ball, there's no telling where it's going to go. That's the issues that they work with now. There was a time where I felt like that he had some accuracy to his game, but, you know, I feel like that if you're the Cowboys, you just have to be ready. You just have to be ready for overthrown balls or tip balls or things like that. He's just not a very accurate quarterback. But, you know, this will be the with no real preseason work. Now, I don't know where their situation has been. You know, Dak Prescott got no preseason work, but Dak Prescott took the majority of snaps in two different practices against the Rams.
And works a ton with his receivers during the summer.
Exactly. So there's at least there's that work. And I think that's the direction we're going to as a league. We're going to start working against each other in these practice situations and not deal with game situations.
Better work.
And you can control the pace of practice. But to get back to Watson, there's a lot of unknown. The Cowboys clearly have the advantage at quarterback in this game. Now, can they do enough to protect their quarterback with a dependable running game and then some blocking and not allowing this thing to become a train wreck on the road?
Yeah, I think that I feel like when I've watched Deshaun Watson on tape, I've not done a deep dive into the Browns yet. But I was watching Watson at the end of last year for a segment that we were doing on the radio where I was just trying to figure out, like, what's gone wrong, what's missing, you know, that kind of thing. He just, from a confidence standpoint, he doesn't look like the same player anymore.
No,
and when you hear him talk in the media, it doesn't sound like the same player. There's no trust in his shoulder, his arm, you know, a lot of what he's doing on the field, a lot of what he's seen. He just sounds like an uncertain player. Right. And I don't know how much everything that went on off the field, maybe that affects the way that you know, and again, not
money, money guilt, might have something to do with that too.
Yeah,
you know what
pressure,
I'm saying?
A lot of pressure. Yeah. And look, not speaking to guilt or innocence or anything else, just saying that stuff that went on off the field, guilty or innocent, did that attention and the intensity of that pull his focus away? And did that, you know, potentially damage him a little bit? We talk about, you know, in a different sense, it was a knee injury, but we talk about how Michael Gallup was never the same after a knee injury, just between the ears, was not the same football player ever again. So Deshaun Watson, like, I mean, we all know he has physical ability there that that has existed. And it's just a matter, I think, of him clicking into place and being a more confident player. They've set him up now to have a lot of weapons here, Brian. There's three, I think, pretty good to great receivers when you talk about their collection there. Elijah Moore, Amari Cooper, Jerry Jeudy, who they went out and acquired. When you look at the receiving trio, how big of a game is this going to be for Kalen Carson having to step in and kind of take over in Deron Bland's absence?
If you believe in the folks like at Pro Football Focus, those metrics and stuff, they like to give you fantasy football advice, you know? And I just was kind of, you know, thumbing through it myself just to see, not for my fantasy football because I don't play, but I was just curious of where they thought, because they do a thing called receivers versus DB matchups. And they had Jeudy and Cooper as good matchups for, you know, to have the opportunity to have some success. And that was against all Cowboy corners. But you mentioned Carson's, by the way, Lamb was the second highest rated guy as far as going against for fantasy football this weekend, of going against the Browns secondary. So that was a very high rating for them. But just to the question was the Browns receivers. And yeah, this is going to be tough. The thing about Carson, and I really admire him because I think he's very well coached by Al Harris. I think Al Harris is one of the young, rising coaches in this league.
Yeah, a lot of teams would agree with you on that.
I really do. And so the way he's going to prep this kid, the kid takes coaching. He's smart. He's tough. He'll tackle. You know, what we don't need to have happen is like what happened in that Rams game in the early preseason there, where there were six targets, and the first three of them were just really pitch and catch plays where I'd seen him in practice drive on that ball, knock it down, make it contested. Third catch he gave up was a short play, went for not many yards. But it's like something clicked. It's like, okay, now I understand my job. I understand my responsibility. He's going to have a tough task. But the thing that could help him in this game is if Dallas's pass rush. And, you know, that I think when you look at, you know, to me, Wills, you know, Jerick Wills, the left tackle, I think is.
Yeah, Jedrick Wills.
Jedrick Wills, I think, is a pretty damn good blocker. I mean,
took him a little time, but yeah. he's come into his own. He was a really good player coming out of Alabama.
If you told me where to go with a rush or where to try and maybe make something happen, I know we're talking about the corner needs help. So I'm going to tell you how I think you get it. I think that Wyatt Teller is a weakness there for them at right guard. I don't think that Wyatt Teller handles power particularly well. I don't think he handles movement particularly well. Him and Ethan Posick, the center,
yep,
they'll struggle together. You kind of feel like that maybe a combination of those guys would kind of be able to handle things inside. That would be a focal point for me. We'll see what happens with, you know, potentially with Jack Conklin. You know, last year it was DeJuan Jones in some of the games I was watching late, you know, playoff game. I was watching DeJuan Jones block. He's number 79. He's clearly not as good as Conklin is. But I just kind of feel like if there's a couple of spots inside or on this offensive line, it would be at the right guard and maybe some of the stuff that they're going to try and do at center if you're far as trying to get pressure in order to help Carson on the outside or Diggs or anybody that's playing in coverage.
Right. As we head into this game, Brian, What is the biggest thing in terms of this practice week? You know, we're going to hear a lot about injuries and certain things. I know one of the things from the Cowboys perspective, hearing some rumblings that like maybe the DeMarvian Overshown hit pointer was lingering a little bit. So availability will be a question. Have you heard anything new on Overshown or any whispers?
Yeah, I appreciate you asking that. I know last week when, or 2 weeks ago, when you and I were doing Cowboys postgame show, Brad Sham came on after you and he was saying, hey, keep an eye on this hip pointer. Might have to go a little long at linebacker. You know, Brad just doesn't throw stuff up against the wall like that and hope it sticks. I mean, he had an understanding. He had talked to somebody. I did get word today that overall they feel good about anybody that's injured playing, and especially Overshown. Everything looks fine for him. So no issues for him at all with that hip pointer.
We will continue to monitor this and ask questions about it during the week as well. But I know there is some question for some people. The Cowboys have not really spoken to it yet. Jerry Jones will join us on 105 Through the Fan on Friday, as well as Mike McCarthy, and we'll hear press availability all day. But the idea of Lamb snap count or working Lamb in a little bit, how much do you think we are going to see CeeDee Lamb in this game?
You know what? It's the first game, and I would be surprised if we heard about a snap count limitation for CeeDee Lamb. If he's a linebacker or defensive line or something like that, the one thing CeeDee Lamb can do is run all day. He can run all day. I mean, he is built for this. He's built for this moment. It's up to you and I to do a little snooping around until we get to our pregame show on Sunday there at 12:30. But I kind of feel like, though, that until told differently, I kind of feel like CeeDee Lamb's to go out there and play football. It's not like CeeDee Lamb signed this week. He's, you know, we're getting into the second week. So his conditioning, I'm sure, was fine. You know, we talk about game conditioning and all that. He plays a position where he requires to run. He said maybe he needs to get knocked around a little bit and kind of get that feeling back. But he wasn't going to get knocked around in preseason games. You know, he maybe would have got knocked around against the Rams a little bit in those scrimmage games. But I have a feeling, until told differently, and you and I will both try and do our best to get that squared away, I think CeeDee Lamb will be ready to play.
Yeah, and I think he's somebody who, he came back bigger. He looks bigger. Like, this is not just, you know, I know we've heard the idea of the 15 pounds of muscle that he's put on. That doesn't seem to me to be just smoke. Like, when you see him, he looks bigger. We know he got in work over the season.
He's got body armor now.
I've never looked at CeeDee Lamb in a game and felt like, you know, maybe things didn't go the right way, but I've never looked at him and been like, man, he wasn't ready to play that game. And so I think if he's telling me he's ready to go, I'm going to believe.
You'll have an opportunity to get in the locker room tomorrow, Bob, and I'm sure he'll talk, and or Thursday, one of those days. And then by Sunday, when you and I sit down and we have our visit from you from Cleveland and me here in our studio, you know, you'll have had an idea of like, no pitch count, here he goes, or hey, they're going to limit what he can do. I guarantee you by Sunday, we'll have that thing wired up for you.
Absolutely. You are listening to the Love the Star podcast. The Love the Star is an Odyssey podcast. You can find it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.